Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Got two on the field. He's got Drew. 35-30.
One of the end zone punt. Broken intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com, 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. Paul Dottino, John Schmelk with you for the next 1 hour talking Giants football, some NFL talk as well if you want to go in that direction. Hope everything is doing well. Paulie Dots, NFL draft and minicamp and Giants minicamp and rookie minicamp are all in the books. We'll talk about what we saw over the weekend as the Giants rookies were on the field for the first time. And our question for you today, you can call in and give us a call. What Giants rookie do you think will have the biggest impact in 2015? Now, I want to talk about this a couple different ways. If you want to just talk about the amount of time they're going to spend on the field, and number of plays, and that'll equal impact, that's fine. I think that's a lazy way to do it. What I want to know is who is going to play the best when they're on the field? Who will grade out the best in their snaps of the Giants rookie class in 2015? Because the easy answer is probably going to be Landon Collins. He's probably going to play more snaps than anybody else. Flowers will probably be right next to him. And those guys are going to have the biggest impact. That answer is easy. But which guy do you think will grade out in our imaginary coaches tape evaluation the best in 2015 for the New York Giants?
My grades aren't imaginary. They may not count for anything,
okay,
but they're not imaginary.
Okay, at least you admitted that.
Wow, that's an interesting thought, John. See, we didn't talk about this before the show, folks. So I like John to spring stuff on me, kind of like a blitz package right there with the line of scrimmage. Wow, who will grade out the highest? I'm going to say, well, should I say?
What's your answer?
Point?
This is our opening, yes, absolutely.
I think the guy who's going to grade out the highest, and it's not going to be because he's on the field a whole lot, it's going to be Jeremy Davis.
Why is that?
Because I think he's going to be extremely dynamic as a gunner on special teams.
But he's only played special teams 1 year in college, his rookie year. His redshirt freshman year, rather.
He seems incredibly eager to learn. He seems very astute from talking to him. He's already gone up to David Tyree and said, look, I want you to be my mentor. I can't think of a much better mentor on special teams than David Tyree, especially because the kid's going to play gunner. So I got a feeling that he's going to make an impact right away on this team as a gunner on special teams. And, you know, if he's only gunning down there, you know, six, seven times a game, I think he's going to grade out very well for those six or seven times a game.
I'm going to go with their third-round pick, Odighizuwa, and here's why.
Okay.
In my opinion, any offensive lineman that steps in there and has to play every snap his rookie year in the NFL is going to have his growing pains.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the fact of life. I don't care where you get drafted, whether it's ninth overall, first overall, you're going to have some issues as a rookie in the NFL. And every great offensive lineman, Hall of Fame offensive lineman, you know, you talk about a guy like, you know, Tyron Smith, who's considered one of the best offensive linemen in the league. He had his struggles his rookie year. He had some problems. Everybody does. So I don't think it's going to be Flowers for that reason. I think Collins, I think a lot of times safeties in the back end, there is an adjustment period to playing at the speed, at the complicated offenses you go against in the NFL. I think quarterbacks will move you around with their head and their eyes a lot more than you will in college. I think all those things happen, and I think he's going to have some issues. Here's what I like about Odighizuwa. His snaps are going to be limited, so he's always going to be playing at 100% effort because he's only going to have to be out there for 30, 35 snaps a game. That's going to help him a lot. I think his natural size is going to help him be a very good run player right off the bat. And I think he'll do enough as a pass rusher in sub-packages where maybe attention of offensive lines will be elsewhere that he'll be able to get some sacks in that way. So I think he, in the end of the year, will end up grading out highest of the Giants draft.
Logical
picks.
Reasoning, John. I don't have any problem with anything you said. And quite honestly, if that's true, I think the Giants would be very happy because this is a guy who, at the moment, has a lot of guys in front of him on the depth chart.
Right.
So if he does grade that highly and does earn a bunch of rotational snaps, that's because he deserves them.
But again, I'm not saying he's going to be out there playing, you know, 50, 60 snaps a game. You know,
even 10 or 15.
He might only average 15 to 25 snaps a game or 15 to 20.
But that is asking a lot right now based on the guys in front of him. If he does that, it means he's really good. I mean, really good.
Well, look. You know the two starters are going to be Ayers and well, you don't know. You think the two starters are going to be JPP and Robert Ayers. So the two veterans. Ayers was good when he was here last year.
Okay.
And you figure they're going to be the two starters. Okay. Now you talk about the guys behind those two.
They're more and win? They've already proven that they deserve some snaps.
DeMontre Moore hasn't, has he proven a lot? I thought this is the prove me year.
It is his show me year. It is his show me year, but put it this way. If 00 shows everything that they hope he shows,
right,
and he does earn snaps, they're coming from DeMontre Moore because he would be the kind of player they take him from.
Or win.
I don't know that he's going to be able to take him away from Kerry Wynn, to be perfectly frank with you.
See, I think their game, though, is similar. I don't think Kerry Wynn is that explosive first step off the edge. I think he's more that left end that's good against the run. You can slide him inside a little bit. I think his skill set matches Odighizuwa, is more than DeMontre Moore, who's a speed outside pass rusher.
I think that 00, I'm going back to what Charlie Casserly said. You didn't do the show with me the other day. Lance was doing it. Charlie Casserly made a point, and I agree with him. After looking at the tape again, I went back. What Charlie said is that Odighizuwa is going to be a much better edge pass rusher in the NFL than he was at UCLA, because at UCLA they asked him to play the run more.
Right.
And here, the Giants going to be able to use his speed and athleticism more, much more like a DeMontre Moore or much more like an OC. And it was Charlie's contention, and I agree with him now, that I think he's got that in him, and it's going to be up to the Giants to bring that out of him. And if they do that, he'll be a much more productive end than he was at UCLA. I would also add one more thing. I think Kerry Wynn is extremely motivated. You and I have seen him here all the time.
He's been here as much as any other defensive player on this team. So, other guys have been here as much, but no one's been here more.
No one more.
Right.
I mean, and I think that's a very good sign for a young player who they think has pass rush and run-stopping skills. He's a two-way defensive end. And I really believe that that he's so motivated, I think you're going to see a real jump in his play. And it wasn't like he was bad last December, because he looked like he's got something. He showed flashes, John. I think he's going to be really good.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. Do you think the only two guys of this draft class that have a good, I'd say at least a 50-50 chance of starting the top two?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that.
Is that fair, do you think? Or do you want to put Thompson into the mix as a potential starting safety?
I don't know that Thompson, I mean, look, they're going to let him compete.
Of course.
But I don't think you can expect him to be a starter.
I just don't.
I think he could be a sub-package guy. I don't know. Do you want to consider that a starter? If he's one of the three safeties in the sub, which means he'll play at least a half the time, if not more, you know, I don't know. You want to play games with words. I think he's going to give the Giants some reps. Let's put it that way. And certainly, again, I think Davis, bless you, John, the other John, I think Davis is going to give the Giants a lot of snaps on specials. This is all good from their perspective. I think the only rookie of the draft class who's not going to give them any reps or snaps this season is the Florida State offensive lineman.
You think he's more of a developmental guy?
I think at this point, you look at him and you say, let's see what we can do with him. If we need him and we got to rush him in there because somebody gets hurt,
so be it.
So be it. But I think right now they're looking at him for a year down the road.
And I don't think that's a knock either. I mean,
no,
you don't see
hardly any
at all seventh-round offensive linemen step in unless a disaster happens and contribute and be a starter right away for you. So I think that's probably a fair statement. I agree with that.
Yeah, and so, I mean, if that's true and they get snaps immediately and production immediately out of five of the six draft choices, John, this will then grade out to be a good draft.
Well, we got to see what the guys are like in 3 years, too, obviously. I mean, what they do their rookie year does not make a draft class. You know, I always say this. After 2007, everyone sat down and thought that'd be one of the greatest draft classes in the history of the Giants, right? 3 years later, the opinion might be a little bit different. Now, there are reasons for that, injuries, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I like to reserve judgment, good or bad, after a year. I like to wait two or three before I even start considering how good a draft class is.
Understood. I think what happens is there are really two separate questions. You grade a draft class years down the road and say, okay, that's what that class was in retrospect and as a whole, and what did they give us as a body of work. But I don't think there's anything wrong with saying, look, that 2007 gave that team immediate production that was absolutely necessary for them to win the Super Bowl.
That's absolutely fair.
So for that reason, it's a separate question.
Oh, okay.
And
you're
so
you're looking at immediate impact versus long-term
correct.
Lasting power.
And I think there's a lot of immediate snaps available with this draft class based on what I've seen.
201-939-4513. So that's our opinions. What's yours? Hit us up right here on Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com. John Schmuck, Paul Dottino with you. Let's go to the calls and say what's up to Eric in North Dakota first. Eric, what's up, pal?
Good morning, guys.
Hi.
Hi, John.
How are you, Eric?
Paul. Hey, I have got three questions. We're talking about the safety and all that stuff. I've been hearing is that the Houston and Patriots let go their two safety and cornerback. I believe his name is Cal Arlington, and the other one is DJ Swagger. What do you think about those players fitting with the Giants?
Arrington got cut this morning, didn't he, John?
Yes, he did. That's
now,
great.
At one point, he was a valued member of that secondary. I don't know what grade they had on him last year, except that they were shuffling some things around, and I know that he was not the player that he'd been in years past.
And he was due a pretty, I think he was due like something like $3 and change million this year.
Was there a money factor this time?
I believe there was a money factor. Yes.
So honestly, I mean, look, if you're the Giants, you're going to unturn or uncover every stone you can to try to help this team. And I do believe they could use some depth at corner. So is it worth investigating and doing due diligence? I'm sure that they'll put in a phone call and find out, well, what's the deal with him? Is it worth bringing him in to give him a workout? I can't tell you for sure, based on what happened with him last year, that I would do it in terms of following through. But you know they'll make a call, John. They'll investigate because they have to. I mean, you're always looking to make your 53 better. In terms of the safety from the Texans, now, the Texans signed Stevie Brown.
Correct.
And that's why they're letting this veteran safety go. He's an okay player. Again, I don't know what his money is. Did you see? Was there anything on the money, John? Was this a part of the issue?
I did not see any of that, to be honest with you.
So let me check on that now. If you had another question, maybe John could help you. I'm going to check on the money on TJ's number and see if that could have been a factor.
Okay.
Okay. And, John, my question is I want to know your top. Who are going to be your five top wide receivers for the New York Giants for 2015-16 season?
Oh, boy. That's a good question. My top five wide receivers on the depth chart this year are going to be, I'm going to assume Cruz is healthy, so obviously you're looking at Cruz, Beckham, Randall, Dwayne Harris. That's the easy four, obviously. Boy, let me think of the depth chart real quick. I think my fifth guy would probably be, my fifth guy right now would probably be Preston Parker. That's my top five.
Can they keep six receivers, or they can only keep five?
If their sixth guy can be a serious contributor on special teams, you can't keep six, which is why I think Jeremy Davis could have a run there. And I think there's a case to be made that your fifth guy has to be a special teamer as well. So I think there's a chance the fifth guy ends up being Davis if he plays well enough and he can beat out a guy like Parker. But I do think there's the opportunity to keep six, only because Dwayne Harris is such a big special teams contributor in your top four. And then if your fifth or sixth guy is also a big-time special teamer, as Paul mentioned, Jeremy Davis is supposed to be, I think you can get away with keeping six.
Okay. Hey, John, one more thing I was going to ask you.
Yeah.
What do you think about John Crockett, Vizen, North Dakota player, running back? I mean, I was hoping for them to draft, Giants draft him. Do you think he's a good value running back at all?
Did he end up getting picked up by anybody or no?
He got picked up by the Packers, and I was hoping for him to go to the Giants, but, you know, that's what I was hoping. But what do you think about that player? I mean, if he was happened to be with the Giants, contribute.
Well Crockett, I'll give you a quick rundown on Crockett for the people that don't know him. He was ranked kind of around the seventh rounder or so, maybe an undrafted free agent. I think he went undrafted, if I recall. He's a four-year senior. He redshirted at North Dakota State. 5'11 and a half, 217 pounds, a bigger guy. Ran a 4.62 40, which is not a great time. He really doesn't have great college. He had really good college numbers his final year, almost 2,000 yards rushing, 21 touchdowns, 5.5 yards per carry. So, look. Paul likes him. I mentioned him last week because his nickname is Taz because of his energetic style. So, Tatino's a big fan of that. Honestly, I'm not sure, aside from a practice squad spot, there would have been much room on him on the Giants' final 53. So, that's how I look at it. We'll see if he ends up being a good NFL player. But I think the Giants are pretty set here at running back, especially with the addition of the Hunt kid out of Purdue as an undrafted free agent.
All right, guys. Paul and John, you guys are doing a good job. And looking forward to hearing from you guys again.
Thanks, Eric. Appreciate the call, my friend. What you got?
Swearinger's number, John. He was due this year, 2015, $722,000 as a base. His four-year deal was only worth $3.5 million when he signed in 2013. So it's not a contract issue. The caption on RotoWorld indicates that he's not fitting the culture that Bill O'Brien is trying to build in Houston. So this may be one of those cases where old guard, new guard.
What round was he drafted?
Oh, he smokes.
He's on his rookie contract. So I'm trying to figure out what round. I think he was a third or fourth round pick.
Let's go here.
He was more of a box safety, if I remember right.
Draft.
Was it on your initial sheet? It'll be on that page. Absolutely.
Yeah, it'll be here.
I think he was a third or fourth round pick.
He was.
Oh, second. Late second
rounder.
Wow.
You know, second rounder.
He's more of a box guy, though, if I recall.
He's
right?
a strong safety
yeah,
guy.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's a strong. There's no question that he's a strong. Let's see here. In 2013, hairline fracture of his right fibula. So he does have a little bit of an injury history. I do know that, again, with the whole coaching change down there and O'Brien coming in this past year, new guys like to use, you know, their guys in quotes.
Right.
He's a leftover. He's a holdover. Automatically, a lot of times, you'll get guys who just don't fit personality-wise with a new coach.
Well, I could tell you last year, DJ Swearinger, oh, boy. Well, this is according to Pro Football Focus. So, and obviously me and Paul aren't breaking down Texans and DJ Swearinger tape.
I don't see enough of film on him to tell you.
So this is exactly...
you know, because he's out of conference. He's way out of left field for me.
So last year he played 1,037 snaps on defense for them. So he was their starting safety. That was the third most snaps on the team on defense, by the way, for any player on that Houston Texan team. So he was on the field all the time. He played all 16 games, I would gather. Overall grade was the third worst on the defense at -11.1. And he was significantly worse, actually, against the run than he was to pass. So if that was considered a strength coming out, it is not proven to be that, if Pro Football Focus is to be correct. And again, take the numbers with a grain of salt if you want. That's just their analysis. Obviously, scouts are going to have different opinions and things of that nature. So that's just Pro Football Focus's opinion, so take it at whatever, you know, you would. But that's how they look at it from last year.
But John is right about him being a box guy. He's definitely more of a strong safety than a free. And again, you know, looking at the Giants' depth chart, it would seem to me they'd be probably more curious. And again, we know the whole thing about, what do you call it? We know about left and right,
as we talked about
with Spags. If I were the Giants, I probably would look more for a center fielder. If someone popped up
well, again,
available.
Talking to Steve Spagnuolo when he talked to the media over the weekend, he mentioned the fact that
He wants them to learn both spots.
They teach both, but towards the end of training camp, end of the preseason, start of the regular season, that's when you start deciding, well, player A does this better, player B does this better.
They'll lean.
So we're going to put them maybe in that role 70-30% of the time rather than the other one. So that's something they figure out as it goes along.
Yeah, they'll lean it. There's no question.
Absolutely. 201-939-4513. Drain Atlanta's up next. Dre, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, John? Hey, Peter, how you doing?
What's up, Dre?
Hey. Before I start off, let me just say congratulations to a fellow Cardinal Hayes alumni, Caleb Taylor, you know, making, again, a little contract sign. Hopefully he can make it onto the practice squad because that defensive tackle set looks kind of like an uphill battle for him. But if he gets a practice squad invite, I'll be very happy. Go Hayes, up Hayes and all his loyal men. Now that I got that out of the way, I'm going to tell you, I'll be remiss if I don't say that the top battles in camp this year is going to be a tight end. That's one. Because I'm going to tell you, I've seen tape on lacrosse, and with his versatility, going out wide, being a sound blocker, and he needs to work on his routes, but he has some sure hands. He's going to push for that starting spot, and it's going to hopefully Larry Donnell and Fells will up their game and kind of make him a much better tight end. Now, Adrian Robinson, this is, like you said, this is his make it year. If he does not perform, he's going to be on the outside looking in. I'll let y'all talk on that before I bring up my second battle.
Okay, go ahead.
My second battle is going to be at end. We spoke before in reference to DeMontre Moore. It's time for him to mature and raise his game, because with Terry Wynn, Ozeki Uwa coming on, those guys are going to be fighting for some spots, and they're hungry. And that's one thing about coming in as a rookie. You're hungry. You want to learn everything. You want to soak everything in. You want to make your difference, and you want to get on that starting squad. And there's a level of complacency, and, you know, when you've been on the team for a while, you're still on the contract, and you feel that this is your job to lose, but yet you don't do anything to protect your spot. DeMontre Moore does not step his game up and play outside of himself and raise his game up, he's going to be on the outside looking in and watching rookies and a second-year player take his spot.
All right, let me address your 2 points. Yes, at defensive tackle and at tight end, there's no question there's a lot of guys who the Giants are going to be looking at over the course of the summer at both of those positions. And so the guys who are in the snaps are certainly going to be there. But I do want to take a little exception with you about DeMontre Moore. This is a guy who the Giants felt very strongly about when they drafted him a couple of years back. And although he has been slow to break out of his shell and give them exactly what it is that they believe he's got, he will get more than every opportunity this year to step up his game and become the show-me player that they think he is. Now, again, as we mentioned before, 00 may push him, but DeMontre Moore will get more than every chance to show what he's got. So don't be so quick to just discard him and think that, you know, they might cut him or he might get out of the way in the depth chart.
Well, you know, Dre,
that's not going to happen.
And I think one thing that's interesting this year, and I think you saw this last year based on how many defensive linemen the Giants kept heading into the regular season. I think they kept 10, didn't they?
They did.
They kept 10. And I think you're going to see a similar number this year, to be honest with you. I think you're going to see the 5 defensive ends we've been talking about are all going to be on the roster. And then a defensive tackle, you have Jonathan Hankins, you have Colin Jenkins, you have Kenrick Ellis, you have
Bromley.
Marcus Cooney of Jay Bromley. So those are 10 guys right there. Are all 10 of those guys going to be on the final roster? Is there going to be a sleeper that slips in somewhere else? I think those are all good questions.
I think part of the reason they took 10 last year, though, Johnny, remember, JPP was coming off of a hurt.
That's true.
And they were trying to figure out, well, what is his physical status? What is his capability? They hedged their bet by keeping an extra lineman.
Well, I think they're also afraid to put Kerry Wynn on waivers because they didn't think they'd be able to keep him.
That, too.
I think that was the big reason they kept him.
And you know what? I think we were both surprised.
We were.
You know, this was a guy who had very limited snaps in the preseason, but they knew something that the rest of us didn't.
Well, you know what? It's funny because he never flashed with that big play, but they must have saw consistent, solid, good play on tape watching all the film that they do, and that's one of the things that made him keep him.
Yeah.
What else you got, Dre?
I don't think that they're going to cut DeMontre Moore. What I'm referring to is when you – you know, I play college ball and play semi-pro, and I'm going to tell you, when you have new players come on there, it pushes you. I'm not saying that DeMontre Moore is going to be cut, but if he doesn't look at, you know, the writing on the wall that, it's kind of cliche, but, hey, 3 years, there's always somebody after your job, and you have to look at it and you have to fight. What I'm saying is if he does not take the initiative, he can watch some snaps get away. I'm not saying that they will take him away from him, but Ozeki Uwa and Kerry Wynn outplay him, he could be sitting back. They'll give him the opportunity, but this is his opportunity now. Take it and run with it and show.
I agree that there's going to be quite a crowd there, quite a log jam at the position, and the guys who are in the snaps are going to get them. And if 00 earns them right away, I do think they'll probably come at Moore's expense. But, again, What I'm trying to say is I do think that DeMontre Moore has shown enough skill set wise that he's still going to be part of this team, at least in my estimation.
Oh, he will. I don't think he won't. I do believe also. I just want to see a lot more of him on the field.
Okay.
You know.
Let him earn it.
Right. Exactly. You know. That don't earn it, but I appreciate you taking my call. I'll speak to you again this week. Have a good one.
And this question, I've had David Goodman's made this point to me before. I don't think I've addressed it on the air before.
What do you got?
He says, Fuel played Moore only 30% of the snaps, and Moore still got 6 sacks last year. Moore gets dinged because of Fuel enough. You don't judge the defensive linemen just by the number of sacks that they have.
You can't. You can't.
It can oftentimes be a false number, to be quite honest with you.
I mean, look, there are pressures. There are quarterback hits. There are sacks. There are penalties drawn by a pass rusher.
How about penalties committed by a pass rush? How many big and at sometimes ill-timed penalties did DeMonte Moore have last year?
Yeah, absolutely. Vacating your spot, you know, missing tackles. You know what? Here, this would be really fun, and I don't think we could ever make it happen because it's just not something that's made public. But I would love just one time to be able to tell the fans, not a guy's specific grade, but I would like to say, look, the defensive ends, when the coaches look at the game films on Sunday night, Monday morning, these are the things they're looking at.
Right.
These are the grades they're breaking down and they're looking for. I don't think we could ever make that happen, but you would be very surprised at how many categories each player is graded on by the time he gets his game grade.
And the importance of those categories relative to each other.
Yeah.
Now, David Goodman also points out, and this point I'll agree with too, and I did not mention his name before, I should have. Also keep an eye on Sue Harris. He could have beaten out Parker last year if he wasn't hurt. I think that's an accurate statement.
Coming off a very serious knee injury and certainly had a good camp last year, John.
Wasn't it hip?
Can't deny that.
Wasn't it hip?
Was
Sue
it
Harris?
Hip?
I think
you're
it was,
right.
I think Marcus Harris was hip.
You're right, it was. It was.
And the funny thing is, during camp, we knew he was battling a shoulder. And that was the injury that they always talked about. And then all of a sudden at the end, they're like, we'll put him on IR with a hip. And that kind of came out of left field.
That was the A-Rod thing, right? What do they call that thing?
I don't remember.
No, the hip thing. What do they call that?
A subluxation?
No, what do they call that thing?
Hip pointer.
Was it a pointer?
I don't know what it is. I just think a hip injury. I'm not a doctor.
Okay, yeah, but there's a term for it, though, and it's becoming a little more common in sports. And, yes, he had a good camp, and the question now remains, well, how healthy is he, and can he fight and compete for a job?
201-939-4513. Stick on the calls. Let's go to Jeff in New Hampshire next. Jeff, what's up?
Not much. How you guys doing?
Doing well, Jeff.
Hey, just jumping in on the defensive end depth chart and that sort of thing. I know we kept 10 defensive linemen last year. Do you think there's any chance we keep 6 ends and 4 tackles this year since we signed Selvey as well, or do you think he's not going to make that?
Oh, you know what? I forgot about George Selvey. I knew I forgot somebody in that defensive line. I completely forgot about George Selvey. You know what? That's a really good point, Jeff, and that would not shock me if that happened. And I don't think
it'd be a bad idea just looking at the fact Ayers is coming off injury. JPP's got an injury history. Both those guys can slide over and take reps at tackle if they want to go with that NASCAR package or whatever. So, to me, I think I'd keep Selvey over Kuhn. I don't think Kuhn's shown all that much yet. And if you're confident that Jay Bromley's going to, you know, take the next step this year and be able to be part of the rotation too, if it was me, obviously it depends what happens in camp, but I'd almost consider keeping the 6 defensive ends and the 4 defensive tackles and being pretty happy about it.
Well, Jeff, one of the reasons you might be right, especially, is because a lot of those defensive ends can flop in to play the 3 technique in certain situations. A lot of people think Odigi Zuwa is going to be able to do it. Then last year, Kerry Wynn did a little bit, and Robert Ayers went to that 3 technique defensive tackle spot too.
Yeah.
So I do think that's true, and let me put it this way too. At defensive tackle, to me, there are locks on the – I think – Hankins is a lock on the roster. Bromley's a lock on the roster. I don't think Kenrick Ellis is going to go anywhere considering his ability to stop the run. You know, Colin Jenkins is a veteran. He's been here a long time. Last year of his contract. And Marcus Kuhn, I think, is still trying to prove that he is a consistent NFL player. So I think there is going to be some very interesting competition there.
Kuhn would be the 5th guy in the depth chart. And
correct.
If they keep 4, then he's going to have a very hard time making it. By the way, the term I was looking for, torn labrum.
Oh, the labrum.
The labrum. That's
also,
the name.
There's labrum in your hip and your shoulder.
Yes.
The joints are very similar.
That's what Sue Parris had.
No, I think it'd be between Kuhn and Selvey for that 10th spot, personally. But,
no, you know what?
I
think you make a very good point, Jeff. I agree.
Yep. I was just curious about the tight ends from the camp, too. I saw from the rookie camp that undrafted kid made the nice play there. What's he like as a blocker? It's hard to tell when they don't have pads on and stuff, but like in college or whatever, how is he as a blocking tight end?
And here's the thing, no contact here during the rookie minicamp, so I can't give you anything based on the eye test. What I can tell you is as follows. Doing some research on him in Illinois, We heard about his variable skill set. He played H-back. He played in the slot. He played up wide. He played in line. He played fullback for three games. He is a big, strong guy. You know, he's about 6'5", 260. He looks the part. He says that he likes blocking almost as much as he likes catching a pass. I think that's a very good sign. He certainly has the frame. In fact, you know, if I can compare him, John, Jake Ballard kind of comes to mind.
Yeah, that's not bad. I would say his body type, he doesn't have the height that he had, but in terms of his body type, in terms of muscle mass and thickness, it reminds me of Kevin Boss, too.
Boss was a little longer. He had more length.
Well, no, like I said, not as tall as Kevin Boss, but in terms of, like, thickness in the chest and, you know, like, size and muscle mass, I would say he's pretty similar to what Boss was when he got
here. I mean, you know, the Giants could use a blocking tight end. I mean, Daniel Fells is back, but, you know, if they could add another blocking tight end, they'd be really in good shape. So I think he's going to get a serious look. And by the way, I didn't see him drop a single solitary pass thrown his way in the two-day rookie minicamp. Did you, John? Lacoste?
No.
He caught everything that I saw.
I was just wondering if he might be an option as a book, because I agree with you. I think we could use a blocking tight end. When you say he played like H-back and he played in the slot and all that stuff, I kind of picture like a Travis Beckham like we had a few years ago, and he didn't really pan out that well.
Well, I don't say that because I think he's going to do that stuff. I say it because it shows his football acumen and his ability to be a team player. You know, because Illinois, they kept asking him. Apparently, one time, we were talking to him the other day, he goes, our fullback gets hurt, and we didn't have a backup fullback on the roster. And so the coach said to me, can you play fullback? So he played fullback for three games. I mean, so it shows you he's a team player, and he's also got a decent skill set that they felt that they could trust him to do it.
Yeah, you know, Jeff, and I think that's what you like about Lacoste the best, that he's done everything in college that you need an NFL tight end to do. He's done the H-back stuff. He's split out wide as a receiver. He's played as an inline tight end. He's been a primary blocker.
He's
been a
primary.
Exactly. You got it.
Yep. I'm just hoping we get another guy that can block in there. I think that'd be the best thing for our tight end group because, you know, I called last week and said about not writing off players so early in their career, but I kind of think Adrian Robinson's time has come and gone. I don't think he's done anything in 3 years, and I'd like to see a third tight end other than Robinson make the roster this year and let somebody else have a crack at it.
I leave you with one comment, and that is the guy played a ton of snaps at Illinois in the Big Ten Conference, where if you are not a power player and you don't show some physicality, you don't play.
No, that's the Big Ten's starting to go slightly away from that a little bit now.
A little bit, but That's not exactly a winged offense. You know, they're not throwing for 5,000 yards at Illinois either.
201-939-4513. Vic's in Florida's next. Vic, what's up?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Paul and
Hi.
John.
Hi, Victor.
You guys pretty much answered what I was going to ask. I think, personally, from the little bit that I've seen of Matt Lacoste, I think we found something special in him, and I think he's going to be good for the Giants. And he'll be a starter soon enough with Giants team because he's a good blocker from what I understand, and he can catch everything in the air.
Vic,
go ahead.
Hold on 1 second, then I'll let you finish. Let's start throwing the word star out there. Just hope he's either on the practice squad or on the roster come September. That's step one. Before we start talking about starting and Pro Bowls and stars, let's actually have him make the practice squad before we start putting labels on the guy, all right?
Well, I think he's going to make it. That's my personal observation.
I got you.
And I have a question for Paul.
Yes.
This is a trivia question.
Sure.
Back in the mid-70s, the Giants had a pretty good tight end that came from a small college. Do you remember his name?
You want to talk about Bob Tucker?
You got it. I mean, there's nothing I can get by you. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Thank you, Vic.
You guys are doing a great job. I still think Lacoste is going to make the Giants team, and he's going to be awesome. Have a good day.
Thank you, Victor. Victor's going to get you one of these days with one of those questions.
That's okay. He's more than welcome to keep trying. That's cool. I will say this. You know, we talk about the undrafted rookie free agents, and this organization has done such a good job over the last decade, John, of finding those kinds of guys who do make it, you know. So understand this. They're not the typical street free agents that a lot of other organizations have where they may not get as serious a look Here they do. They really do. They take a lot of pride in picking those guys out here. I mean, the Cowboys in the 70s used to be the same way. They took a lot of pride in finding guys, you know, underneath the coal mines, who it's like nobody else knew about this guy, but they found him, and he turned out to be something. So the Giants will give these kinds of players every opportunity, more so than a lot of other teams. So if he's any good, he's going to get a chance to show it.
201-939-4513. Brandy's in New Jersey. What's up, Brandy?
Hello, man.
What's up, man?
Yeah, I like what we did in the draft. Let me explain this, because I hear Paul and everything. Giants been rebuilding. In all reality, we've been rebuilding since 2013. We go to the Super Bowl every 4 years. This is our year right here. Jerry's made sure that we did exactly what we're supposed to do in this draft. Now, this is how I want you to make sure you tell Coughlin this for me, man. Line the offensive line up like this. You got Beattie on the left. Move Pugh to left guard. You put Rich Bird at center. You got Schwartz at right guard. And we put the rookie at right tackle. That's our offensive line. Let them gel. I guarantee if that's the line for this year, they should be healthy all year, and we should be back in the playoffs. Now, I like what we did in the secondary and putting getting Collins. Line him up that strong safety. Don't put him at free safety. Strong safety and the other guy that we had gotten the draft, put him at free safety. I hope everybody stay healthy. We got that O'Diggy. Hello?
Yeah, we're with you. We're listening.
Double O.
We got O'Diggy. That's exactly what we need, some energy in the locker room. You know, everybody's going to come back in there. They're going to be like, all right, we got old Diggy. You know what I mean? That's going to brighten up the locker room. Let's have some fun again. It's every 4 years. This is our year right here. Make sure you tell them to put Pugh at left guard. Left guard, Richburg at center, Schwartz at right guard, Flowers at right tackle, Lee Beattie out at left.
All right. That's
how we going to do that.
I'm texting every Coach right now.
We got to get Prince done, man. We got to give him a contract, man.
Okay.
Hold
on. You have Prince under contract for this year, so there's really no need to rush on a long-term deal.
We don't want to be worried about having to overpay, because he's going to have a good year this year. Spags that.
Okay.
Brandy, hold on.
I'm looking for our defense to have a real big year this year.
No, but Brandy, why do you think Prince is going to give the Giants a discount today?
He's not going to give him a discount.
So there you go.
We should pay him what he's worth. Let's just keep him around.
Okay.
Let's not be juggling around. Then next year's draft, we're looking for a center once we need the Super Bowl chance.
Take care for breath.
I'm going to send a corner.
Take care for breath. I'm not kidding with you. I'm serious now, okay? The Giants could always transition tag him next year if they wanted to. That's a mechanism they could use if they get into any kind of contract difficulties.
Listen.
No.
I'm not worried about, because I know we're going to get that done. Don't worry about stuff like that.
We're done.
All right. Thank you, Brandy. Appreciate it, bud.
For the folks out there who want to have a little patience, understand that there are mechanisms. The franchise tag, although JPP has it this year, doesn't mean he's going to get it next year. But there are the franchise tags and the transition tags available to somebody if the Giants run into a contract situation with someone who they really want to bring back and they can't seem to get things to work. There are mechanisms you can use to try to get guys to stay.
Hey, look, and trust me, the Giants love to lock Prince up long term, but
I'm sure
it has to be at the right number. And the second thing about that is, in the NFL, folks, locking somebody up to a long-term deal with guaranteed money is a risk. So if you can get Prince on a one-year deal, and he's making good money this year. I mean, he's making a nice, nice salary that's worth the amount of contribution he's going to have to the team. So if you give somebody a long-term contract, you're committing guaranteed money to him, and it turns into a risk. Because in the NFL, you never know when a guy is going to get hurt. So when you can have a guy play on the last year of a contract where you at a team are not at any risk at, you know, future dedication earnings to that player, you know, you play him on the 1 year. And then if he plays great, you reward him. You pay him the money that he deserved that he would get in the open market, and you move on. But you run a risk by paying the guy a long-term deal too early. And you've seen in a lot of other sports where a guy gets extended early, then all of a sudden he hits some bad injuries and he's not the same guy, but you paid him based on his performance before those injuries rather than after. And then all of a sudden you get into, you know, salary cap implications down the road and things like that.
I remember Jerry Reese told me one time years ago, and if you look at the track record of how many free agents leave the Giants and go to other teams, very few of them really have careers that are worth a whole lot after
Absolutely.
They leave the Giants.
The Giants do not let people walk that they believe will be significant contributors for a long time.
They make a concerted effort to make sure they tie those guys up.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. And I would be very, very, very surprised if Prince was not on this team again next year. I don't know anything. And the Giants, you know, who knows? I don't know what Jerry Reese is thinking up there. But he's a very good player. If he plays very well this year, he is everything you want out of a player in terms of his locker room ability, attitude, effort, personality, ability on the field.
Age.
He checks all the boxes.
He does.
Checks all the boxes. So I would not be too concerned about Prince leaving, and I don't want to be too concerned about locking up long-term either. I just don't think it's a huge, huge priority or concern right now. They have him for this year, and everyone's happy. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Peter down in Florida. Peter, what's going on, pal?
Hello.
Peter, what's up?
Hi.
Oh, hey. First-time caller. And I just wanted to say to you guys, I think you guys are doing a really good job.
Thank you.
You're very knowledgeable about mostly all the players that that come up during all these conversations.
Thanks, Peter.
And I'm just happy to sit here and listen. keep it up. That's all I got to say.
All right, thank you, Peter.
Kind of you to call.
Checks in the mail.
You know, it's funny because all the years, John, that you know, Giants have been around. It's over 90 now as we go to 91st season. And there are so many generations upon generations upon generations of Giants fans. And the cool thing is that the Giants fandom and the tradition of what Giants fans are was built before the days of the internet and before days of shows like this. And they were rabid, rabid fans at the Polo Grounds and Yankee Stadium and the Yale Bowl and stuff. I could only imagine if those fans back in the 60s and 70s and the 50s had shows like this and the ability to call in and do the internet and the chat rooms and the message boards. Imagine how big Giants Nation would be then.
Well, I always like, you know, I like to say our primary audience here, and we love our fans in the tri-state area, and they're great, and I'm not trying to discount them at all, but the way I look at it, what we do in Giants.com, everybody in New York has WFAN, they have ESPN 1050, they have all the other outlets here, you know, SNY, whatever, MSG, whatever you want, yes, to get their local football fix, whether it's on the radio or on TV.
True.
They have it. But the people outside of the tri-state area, like our friends in D.C., our friends out there in Arizona, New
Florida.
Mexico, Florida, North and South Carolina, Texas, we have calls from all over this great country and all over the world we've gotten calls from.
Military, because, too. We like that.
Absolutely. We've gotten calls from the Middle East. We've gotten from Tokyo, we've gotten Korea, we've gotten
Australia.
Europe, Australia, we've been all over the map, and it's great. And I feel like we're serving the fans outside the area because we're really the only way they get local Giants coverage through the internet. So it's
That's
great to have you guys with us.
Yeah, I wasn't thinking along those lines, but you're right.
201-939-4513. I have a couple more tweets I want to get to, but a couple callers have been holding. I think we lost Hunter. Hunter can give us a call back when you get a chance. Let's go to Joe in Pennsylvania next. Joe, what's up?
Hey, hi, guys. How
hi.
Are you?
What's up, Joe?
Yeah, looks like some great competition everywhere. Is there any are our kickers pretty well fit there, or is there somebody coming in competition for the kickers too?
You know, Tom Quinn spoke over the weekend, Joe, and he made the point. He didn't mention Weatherford by name, but I think everyone's pretty happy with the job Weatherford did, especially punting Hurt last year, and he was very complimentary of the job Josh Brown did last year as well. So I would be shocked if either one of those guys are not in that same spot again this year. I think the team was happy with both their performances in 2014.
Yeah.
And with the kickoff return there, deep there, I know Preston Parker seemed to be our main guy back there. You think that Hunt has a chance to slide in there and maybe to be, you know, get in there as a backup too, even for Shane Vereen, but I know he ain't good on blocking for, you know, coming out of the backfield receiving.
No, I think you really want Dwayne Harris to be your primary kickoff and punt returner.
That's why he's here.
They went out and grabbed him for a very, very specific reason, and that is he's a multi-tool player. on both sets of returns, as well as being a gunner, as well as being a wide receiver on the depth chart. I mean, you know, and Jerry Reese confirmed that when we finally got a chance to sit down and talk to him with the media avails a couple of weeks ago, John. And it's something that we've been talking about on this show for a long, long time. The versatility and the amount of production he can bring in several different areas really made him an attractive free agent for the Giants.
Absolutely right. I know a lot of people are excited to get the young guys in here, a guy like Hunt. Yeah, they signed him, so they're very happy with what he can bring to the team. But, guys, four running backs are not going to be active on game day.
No.
And, you know, and Joe, you know what three are going to be active. So getting a fourth one in there is going to be very, very difficult. And by the way, the team liked Orleans Darkwell last year in the time that he was here. So Hunt's going to have a hard time beating him out to be the fourth running back that maybe is on the 53 but won't be active on game day. So there's going to be a big competition at the end of that running back depth chart.
They never used him back there at kickoff return dark.
No,
they?
I don't think so.
No, but here's what I will tell you. I would certainly look right now, realistically speaking, if all things are equal, and I'm with John on the four running backs that are ahead of him on the depth chart, I think if nobody gets hurt, you look at Hunt as a potential valuable practice squad guy, because John has a lot of stuff he can do on the scout team, whether it be on returns, whether it be as a scat back or as a running back. You know, sometimes that practice squad unit isn't just for prospects that you want to mold to bring up to your 53. Sometimes it's a very valuable tool as a scout player. It could be a very, very good thing for a team. So I think Hunt also, at the very minimum, could be a potentially good scout player for them.
Okay, and one more there. Who do you think our backup offensive linemen? You think Brewer and Mosley's going to be on the bubble?
Well, Brewer's with the Jets. James Brewer's signed with the Jets.
So he's gone.
He's signed already.
Yeah, so, Joe, I would say right now it's center. You're looking at Brett Jones, a kid out of Canada, along with Dallas Reynolds, who was here the last couple of years. They'll compete for that backup center spot. Your swing tackle is going to be the Newhouse guy they brought in the offseason. He used to be with the Packers and a couple other NFL franchises. And then Mosey will compete for one of those guard/backup tackle roles. John Jerry will compete in that area, too. He started last year, so I think he probably has a little bit of a leg up. I'm trying to think of a couple of the other guys that are back there.
Bobby Hart.
Bobby Hart, obviously, your seventh-round pick will be in the mix there as well.
I mean, and to be honest, I mean, it's seriously going to be one of the focuses of this coaching staff, John, I think, during the preseason. They got to figure out who those offensive linemen are going to be. It's not just the starting five.
Thanks for the call, Joe.
We kind of think we know who the starting five are going to be.
Right.
Those other four spots, they're going to be hotly contested.
And by the way, Michael Bamiro, who's an undrafted free agent signee out of Stony Brook, 6'8", 341. He's a big boy, too. He's a tackle. So he's a guy that'll be in the mix there. He's from Brooklyn. I got to bring him up.
I got you. It's okay.
Got to bring him up. You love your Jersey guys. I got to bring up my Brooklyn
guys. I'm with
you. There's fewer of us in the NFL. So
not a problem.
It's okay. Ben Gruen had a point before, and I got to find it. There it is. This division is won by teams that can run the ball the best over the past three seasons. Can we defend the run and run ourselves? And then somebody else had an additional tweet that was related to that I wanted to get here. And here we go. From Jim McKnight, key to snaps a defensive tackle or a defensive end is stopping the run and getting the third and long. Selby, JPP, best run stoppers at the end, so he thinks they'll start for that reason.
Well, here's what I will say. It was mentioned to me the other day by a former Giants player who wanted to ask me about the draft picks and what I thought, et cetera, et cetera. And we were talking about how the Giants definitely need to stop the run better than they did last season. And his comment to me was this: if John Beeson can stay on the field for 12 to 14 games, even if he is 80% of what he had been couple of years ago.
The problem
when he
is that
he's here.
Never going to try to play at 80%. He's always going to try to play at 100%, which is why he has so many injuries all the time.
Yeah.
Because he plays so darn hard.
And the comment made by the veteran to me is, I don't need John Beeson playing at 150% for five games, because that's not going to be good enough for this team. They need him on the field for quantities of snaps, for quantities of games. He's like, I got to see Beeson out there for 12 to 14 games. I can't have him playing his butt off, getting 14 tackles, but then missing the next month and a half of the season.
Absolutely.
And he said to me that in his mind, unfortunately, given the injury history for John Beeson, is a very critical piece to the Giants' run defense.
Another tweet from Big Blue Beckham. Then we'll take two more calls before we say goodbye. He mentioned that Tom Quinn also did not rule out Odell doing some returning. You had to keep defenses guessing. And I think you're going to see him in a spot role, kind of the way the Eagles used to use DeSean Jackson. So if it's a big spot, fourth quarter, close game, that's when you'll see a guy like Beckham rolled out there for a return here.
That's been hinted to us by the coaching staff, correct, but I'll submit this to you. If Dwayne Harris kicks butt on returns and is as dynamic as he's been with the Cowboys, there may not be a need to use Odell Beckham back there. And quite honestly, I hope there's not.
And Colwis 88, what about Robert Ayers? We mentioned Ayers. We think there's a good chance he'll be a starter across from JPP. And it's funny, when he got here, Paul, people talked about Ayers as a run stopper. He was actually much better as a pass rusher last year than he was a run stopper. It shows changing your role. He was a 3-4 D end in Denver, where your primary role is to, you know, occupy off offensive linemen and free up your linebackers, as opposed to a 4-3 end last year. And his roles and strengths and weaknesses seemed to just completely flip-flop.
Yes.
It was amazing.
I think, you know, him getting hurt at the end of the year, which was, you know, obviously terrible for him. But I think, you know, he's coming back extremely motivated. We've seen him a little bit during the offseason as well.
Your impressions of Thompson during minicamp. That's from at Big Blue Beckham.
He has terrific length physically. He's very quick and fast. But, again, with no contact, it's hard for me to gauge, you know, much. It wasn't like there's a ton of film on him either. I mean, I have seen some cut-ups on him, some scout film on him, and that's what I saw, and it was confirmed during the rookie minicamp. But I'm going to need to see a whole lot more before I start making judgments.
Two calls before we say goodbye. Greg in Virginia is up first. Gregory.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, John.
What's up, Greg?
Hey, T-Dot. I haven't got a chance to talk to you. I talked to you, John, a couple of weeks ago.
Great.
I was going to call and talk about the offensive line, but that's a big mix and match, and we'll have to see conversations. So I'm going to skip over that when you guys briefly touched on it. But you guys were talking about Prince. I came into the show a little late. He's someone I feel like we absolutely have to keep. Prince has played great, and you know, with, you know, losing a couple people and the injuries, and you see DRC, you know, come up a little limping last year. I just think Prince is someone you got to keep around. Absolutely.
No, look, I agree with you, but I'll read the stat that Ben Gruen posted on Twitter. In four seasons, Prince has played 44 games, which means he's missed an average of 5 games per season. So he hasn't been a guy that has been completely healthy, especially in his youngest years in the league. So that's something you have to keep an eye on when you're considering giving a guy a very long-term contract. That's all I'll say.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's kind of why I was a little disappointed, even though I didn't get to really see much of him, was, you know, losing Walter Thurman to the Eagles because, in cornerbacks and DBs and safeties, I feel like you need some depth there. But, you know, just Prince in general, you know, I feel like the Giants need to do what they can to hang on to him. So that was two quick things right here. I'll let you go. I'll take it off the air. But Lacoste, I've watched some of it. I am impressed with them. I can't wait to see when they get the pads on and they get the first group out there and see what he can do. But the big thing, and he's been pretty impressive. But I came in late the other day on the show, and you guys were talking about linebackers, and it almost sounded like you guys were downgrading the position, kind of like running backs have been in the past few years. Did I mishear that?
That wasn't me.
Well, here's what's happened. Because of the way that schemes have developed over the years, there's certainly a less of an emphasis on linebackers now than there were 20 years ago. And obviously, when you're playing a 4-3 like the Giants are, there's even less of an impact on them with them because 3-4s are still using, you know, a lot of their pass rush coming from the linebacker spot. With the Giants right now, especially the way they like to go with the sub-packages and the three-headed safety look, which I do think we're going to still see some of. I think Spags is going to do some of that. I know that was a Perifuel thing here, but I do think Spags is going to use some of that. There's less of a need because your linebackers, you may just have one stay on the field for all three downs.
Yeah, here's the thing, though. If you have the right linebacker that's good, he can change a defense. I mean, how valuable is a guy like Luke Kuechly to the Panthers? I mean, he's a monster. He can do everything. He's an absolute beast.
And that's the way I've always looked at it.
They're hard to come by.
It's really hard for me to get off that and say that, you know, well, we could just have one great linebacker out there, because linebacker to me is one of, you know, the most important positions. And I don't know. I heard something the other day about Michael Kendricks maybe being up on the trading block in Philly. And I don't know, maybe we could, you know, try and, you know, work something out in the future with him or get someone like that. But, you know, I do like McClain, and if, you know, Beeson can stay healthy, then we're great. But I think they got to pay attention to linebackers and can't just settle with, you know, having, you know, Beeson as our great linebacker. And
The only thing I would say to try to make you a little bit more comfortable, when Spags talked to us the other day at the media op, he specifically was asked about Beeson, and then he started also talking about McClain because he knew McClain from his time with the Ravens.
And remember, J.C. Thomas is here, too. Don't forget him either as a linebacker.
So it seems as though Spags is familiar with Beeson. He certainly is familiar with McClain. He seems comfortable with those guys, understands that they're very high in football acumen. They've got leadership skills. They can line guys up. He can do things with them. He can trust them, which is very, very important. So I agree with you. You always try to upgrade the position when you can, but I suspect for right now that's not a real worry for Spags. I think he's probably, and he kind of admitted this, a little more worried about depth at cornerback and the inexperience at safety than he is about linebackers.
Thanks, Greg. We got to run, bud.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, Ben. No problem. I'll let Charlie in Portland, Maine have the last call before I get the three tweets. Chuckles, how are you?
Hey, John. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Charlie. How are you?
I'm good. Just talking about linebacker. If we go into this season depending on Beeson to be the guy that's going to stop the run, we are in trouble.
No, but Charlie, the Giants.
This guy probably won't even start a game.
No, but Charlie,
he's injured all the time.
No, but Charlie, the Giants set themselves up for this possibility. They're ready. If Beeson goes down,
who?
They have two guys.
McClain tried to play middle linebacker last year. He was horrible.
How about J.T. Thomas?
Maybe in Spag's system, he'll be better.
How about J.T.
That
Thomas?
Might be true.
How about J.T. Thomas? How about Devon Kennard, who played middle linebacker at USC for a year?
So we're going to take Kennard out of his best position, which is outside linebacker, and to rush the passer, and we're going to stick him in the middle.
Charlie!
Is that what we're going to do?
Charlie, what do you want, an all-pro backup middle linebacker? You can't have
great... Yes, I do.
No, but you can't have
that. There's a couple guys out there. Well, this Spike, too, is out there. He is a run stopper. That's what we need. I look at this, and we haven't really... I don't think we've got the defensive tackle yet, or the middle linebacker to back up Beeson that can stop the run. We still are vulnerable to that. And we're going to find out week one against Dallas if we can stop the run in that offensive line.
They signed Kendrick Ellis, you know.
Can really stop the run somebody
like Kendrick
Spike.
Ellis.
Whoa, Kendrick Ellis is a run stopper.
He's
a plugger.
And he's a good run stopper, Charlie. Seriously,
who is
he?
Ellis?
Yeah, it's
Kendrick Ellis.
Absolutely.
He's a legitimate plugger. He's legit.
So he's going to be starting alongside Hankins, you're telling me.
I would not be surprised if on first and second downs, Ellis is the starter next to Hankins.
Especially against power rush teams.
Absolutely. Like against Dallas Cowboys week one, I bet you Kendrick Ellis is the defensive tackle on the field against the Cowboys on first down.
Yeah.
I would not be shocked by that at all.
Would not shock me at all.
All right. So you think he's the answer to be next to Hankins?
He could be, yeah. And he's also not old. Remember, Kerry Goss is, what, 27 years old? 26?
He's only been in the league for 4 years.
He's a young vet.
So okay, if you think that, I'm not quite sure. But, I mean, why, you know, I just don't understand why Jerry Reese doesn't. There's still some great free agents out there, especially now, price-wise, he should be able to get them for a really good price. So, you know, teams like the Pats, what do? They pick up Fred Davis. You know, they already got two great tight ends. But what do? They pick up another guy with strength. You know, maybe he won't make the team, but they pick up a guy who can compete. And I don't understand why we're not picking up a linebacker. We're not picking up a slot corner, which we need. Arrington or whoever. There's a couple other guys out there. I just don't understand why we're just sitting doing nothing. And I know, Paul, I think you think that we're just all set with everybody we got on this squad and that we're going to be good.
No.
Charlie, I can tell you that the pro personnel's job in the offseason, they have a college scouting department and they have a pro personnel department. What the pro personnel's department is, and literally, in the offseason, this is their job, to make sure – And if there's anybody that's out there that's better than the players currently on the roster, the Giants will go out and they will get them. That's what they're doing. That is their job. Now, maybe your opinion on some of these guys that are out there are different than theirs. That's completely possible. But that is the job of the pro personnel department, to continuously evaluate every available person on the market or that gets cut by teams. And if they believe that player can come and help the Giants, they'll bring him in here, they'll talk to him, they'll work him out, and if they think it's a good fit, they'll sign him.
And you know what? I'm going to take that one more step for you, Charlie.
We got to run, Charlie. It's 1 o'clock. Thanks for the call, Pat.
I happen to know this is a fact. That pro personnel department, not only are they looking at the guys who are on the street, but they are looking at the depth charts of every other team in this NFL, because they're checking on guys who are injured, guys who got contract issues,
yep,
guys who may be having some trouble with their coaching staffs, because these guys are potentially going to be out on the street. And so the pro personnel department already has that list ready, like, okay, if any of these guys,
what do we think about these guys,
should get free,
right,
we're going to jump on them right away.
And Dave Gettleman used to run pro personnel before he went over to the Carolina Panthers. Now it's Kenny Sternfeld, Matt Schauger, Pat Hanscom is there, and, of course, Timmy McDonald. So
I'll give you a great example. Dominic Kixon was one of those guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
They had him on a watch list, and the Broncos waived him. Immediately, the Giants swooped in, and Dominic Kixon was a Giant.
All right, here we go. A couple other tweets real quick. Jim McKnight. Check that. Ben Z underscore Big Ben underscore Z. Us Giant fans are really starring for another Mark Bavaro. Let's calm down on Matt Lacoste. He's a project. He's not there yet. I think it's your reports over the weekend that got Giant fans all excited, Tino. I'm going to blame you on that.
Okay.
And then I got two other tweets in here. This is what I was talking about before. I'm happy to see it.
Okay.
Let's see. What do we got? We got Gorison Leon at Leon 4. I'm actually listening almost every day from Germany. Thank you. The best Giants coverage you get out there. And then our buddy Shane, at Shane CFC24, and he does the same from London, and that's where he gets his Giant coverage. So, guys, we're happy to provide. And, you know, the NFL talks about building that fan base in Europe. That's why they're doing it. And we can announce, by the way, a couple of roster moves here at the end of the show. We've gotten the go-ahead. The Giants have made these announcements. Let me bring this up right now. I'll read them to you. The Giants have signed 4 players, and hopefully this will get Charlie excited, because the Giants are doing something. So, Charlie, here we go.
See, they're busy.
4 new Giants, all right? They signed 4 players who attended the team's rookie minicamp this past weekend on a tryout basis. The newest Giants are running back Kenneth Harper of Temple. So he'll join Akeem Hunt, who was brought in from Purdue as an undrafted free agent. Wide receiver Ben Edwards, another Richmond player, by the way. The Giants like their Richmond players. Well, and then we got Will Tye of Stony Brook, tight end. And then defensive tackle Carla Taylor of Southern Connecticut State. I can give you a couple of the particulars on these guys very quickly. I'll work backwards. Carla Taylor, defensive tackle, 6'2", 319, rookie out of Southern Connecticut, from Manhattan, actually. How about that? So that's another local kid is going to be around. Ben Edwards is a receiver, rookie out of Richmond, 5'10", 197, out of Yorktown, Virginia, 5'10", 197 pounds. Will Tye of Stony Brook. And then, Paul, why don't you have a couple nuggets on these guys ready once I get to the particular. 6'2", 262, Stony Brook out of Salisbury, Connecticut. Again, rookie, so he's another guy. And then finally, you got Kenneth Harper out of Temple, who checks in. I'm looking for his numbers here. Running back, 5'10", 233, so a bigger guy, a rookie out of Temple from Gainesville, Florida.
And I have to admit that I did not go that deep to do any work on these particular fellows.
You got the article up. Maybe you got a couple of nuggets out of the article.
Yeah, I can tell you this. Harper, also a special teams guy. You know, we'll see if that amounts to much. Edwards is a special teams guy. Had some punt returns,
right,
it says. So let me correct myself. That's Edwards, not Harper. And then they're talking about Harris, who has never missed a game for Temple. Played in 48 games, 21 starts. So a guy who certainly showed some durability. Taylor, again, Cardinal Hayes High School, known for basketball more than for football. Bless you, John. And that's about all that just caught my eye. Oh, wait a minute. Giants have also terminated the contract of running back Chris Ogbayana, waived linebacker James Davidson, and safety Thomas Gordon. Now, Gordon is the one name of those three that kind of opens the eyes a little bit, because he was an undrafted free agent last year out of Michigan.
I think the two draftees at safety probably ended up long-term costing him his job.
Yeah.
And he wasn't out there on the field rookie minicamp either, really. He was mostly off to the side.
Yeah, he had been on a practice squad right. twice last year and was hoping to get into that safety mix, and apparently that
Didn't
has been
out.
Derailed.
Correct. But there you go. That's the news, folks. Check out Giants.com. The official release is there. You can read it and read all the data on that as well on all these newest members of the Giants. Tomorrow, I believe it is Lance and Anita, then Paul and Anita on Wednesday.
Right.
And then me and Lance, I think that me and you on Friday once again. So
okay.
That's your schedule the rest of the week on Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com. We'll try to move on from the rookies just a little bit, folks, and try to focus on some roster issues. We'll do some theme shows and have some fun with you on the phones the rest of the week on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time. Have a good one, everybody.
Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down to the field. He's got through. 35, 30.